John, the 9th chapter, page 1128 in your Scofield Reference Bible. And beginning with verse 35, we'll read responsively through verse 39. John chapter 9, verses 35 through 39, page 1128. And may we all stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And let's read together also the 39th verse. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they that which see might be made blind. And let's pray.
The message that I'm going to bring this morning is not typical of me. I rarely ever just take a Bible story and preach from it and give several different points. But I've enjoyed tremendously in the last week or two, well, in the last month, I've enjoyed tremendously the 9th chapter of John. If you want to have some fun, you just go home this afternoon and you read the 9th chapter of John. We're not going to look at it now, but you read. Now's the time for me to preach and you to sleep, so not time to read the Bible. But you go home this afternoon and you read the 9th chapter of John. I guarantee you, if you read it carefully and if you'll read it spiritually, you'll find a dozen places where you'll want to shout. I'll guarantee you, one of the most beautiful little stories in the entire Bible. So I want you to set them straight, look right this way now. And I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, Don't You Want to Know the Giver? Now follow me carefully. There was a blind man. Everybody in that neighborhood knew him. Everybody knew he was blind. They'd known him, for no doubt, for years. And Jesus saw him. Jesus spit on the ground. He just spat on the ground and made some clay. And he put the clay on the blind eyes of this blind man. And he said to him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam. And the fellow did it. And he came back and he could see. Now that's amazing to me. I mean, thank God he can meet our needs. And thank God that this fellow did what he said. Now, if that had been us, we'd have said, Pool of Siloam. That's a dirty pool. Why couldn't I go wash in the Sea of Galilee instead? Well, you do what Jesus said. But you said it doesn't make sense. It doesn't have to make sense to you as long as he said do it. Do what he said. So he did what he said. And he came back healed. And so, of course, naturally, the religious Pharisees and scribes, they came and tried to find. And they said, asked the fellow, said, how were you healed? And you were blind all these years and now you can see. How are you healed? And he said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and put it on my eyes, and now I can see. Let me tell you how I got healed. A man that is named Jesus became clay and saved me from my sins so that I could be healed. Well, they had division among these scribes and Pharisees. Some thought that one thing, some thought another. So they went to the fellow, and they said, Who is he? Who is this man that healed you? And the man said, He's a prophet. Now bear in mind this, the fellow healed, he's not saved yet. He just got his eyesight. And he obeyed Jesus and got his eyesight. So, he says he's a prophet. Well, they went to his parents and they asked his parents, they said, what about this thing? And his parents said, and I'm quoting, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, and now he can see. What do you know about it? We know he was blind, but now he can see. So they came to the young man, and they said to the young man, Now this fellow who healed you, he's a sinner. It's the Sabbath day when he did this, and you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath day. He's a sinner. And the young man said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Man, how about this fellow? I don't know who he is. I don't know his name. I don't know whether he's a sinner or not. But there's one thing I know. I couldn't see while I go, and now I can. That's all settled. I know that. Oh, let me tell you something. If you don't know anything in life, know that you're saved. If you don't know anything in life, know that the blind eyes of doubt and of sin and of Satan have been opened. You can say, I don't know much, but I know one thing. I was blind, but now I see. Like this. This crowd got mad at him because he spoke like that. They cast him out. And then I've got down here written in my outline, praise God, right here. Jesus heard that he was cast out and came to him. Jesus always comes to those who've been cast out. First thing he did, and I've got the words right here in my outline, praise God, right here. Are you cast out? You know, Friday night we had a wedding here, and yesterday afternoon we had a wedding. And Lane, of course, I say Lane, of course, she plays for the weddings and so forth, and she conducts the rehearsals and everything. Well, in fact, she pastors the church, as everybody knows. But, and does it from the organ bench, too. It's amazing. But anyway, Friday night, we married one of our sailors to one of our bus kids. Little girl came here, and she was five years of age, 16 years. She's 21 now, 16 years on a bus. And then one of our sailors. If I was a young lady, I did sure would marry a sailor, I guarantee you, but I'd marry a human being. But anyway, I'd marry a real man. But anyway, she married one of our sailors. And I thought, now that's First Baptist Church of Hammond. We're a multifaceted church. We have many ministries. And then yesterday afternoon, one of our fine drive-in young ladies from one of our fine solid families here married one of our college students. And I thought, that's it. In two weddings, sailor, bus kid, college student, where I drive in young ladies. That's it. That's First Baptist Church of Hammond. Now, I'm not saying that the sailors are outcast. I'm saying they should be, but I'm not saying they are. But I'm saying this. God loves everybody. You say, preacher, I tell you what, I'm not very popular at school, but you're popular in heaven. As soon as Jesus saw the fellow cast out, he came to him. And anybody cast out, Jesus loves the outcast. Whether it's a blind man beside the road on the road to Jericho, whether it's a man who's been cast out of society because he's a wicked tax collector climbing up a tree, or a woman cast out because she's a fallen woman possessed of seven devils, or a thief on a cross dying justly because of his sins, God loves the outcast. You may not love them, but God loves them. And as soon as they cast him out, Jesus came to him. And then listen to what Jesus asked him. Now this is the message. He said, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Now this fellow knew whoever that guy was healed him. He spat on the ground. He made some clay. He put clay on his eyes. And he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He went and washed. He came back. Fellows on the front, look at me now. I'm preaching to you. And he came back. It's time to hear the preaching. You can read your Bible by yourself at home. I want you to hear me. I got something to say this morning. I want you to hear what I got to say. And Jesus healed him. And the fellow said, don't know who he is, but he healed me. Jesus came and he said, wouldn't you like to know the one who did it? He said, dost thou believe on the Son of God? What he's saying was this. He's saying, I'd like to open another set of eyes for you too. What he's saying is this. So you like the hors d'oeuvres? Well, you eat the entree. I hate to put bad language in the mouth of Jesus, but what are you saying in our language? You ain't seen nothing yet. You think you feel good because you can now see with your physical eyes. You wait till I open the other set of eyes. You ain't seen nothing yet. I want to tell you this morning, if you were here and you've never yet trusted Jesus as your Savior, you ain't seen nothing yet, but you say, I don't believe in it. Well, you don't know. You never have had it yet. I'm simply saying that Jesus said, don't you want to know the one that did it? Ask you a question this morning. Has God given you good health? Don't you want to know the one who did it? Let me do the preaching. Don't you want to know the one that did it? Has God given you salvation? Look, I'm going to say something. You can accept the gift and not really know the giver. You can accept God's gift of salvation, and you can know that you're saved because you have the gift of salvation, but not know the giver. I've given folks things. I've given men on the street, the blind men on the street, things. They didn't know who gave it to them. They just took it. I've sent anonymous gifts. Folks have given it. And I'm saying this morning, all of this room, there are hundreds of people, and probably 2,000, who have accepted God's gift of eternal life, but you don't really know the giver. And Jesus said, how would you like to know the one that gave it to you? The one that opened your eyes. How would you like to know who He is? Has God given you food? Wouldn't you like to know the giver? I was standing, and I've used this often, I was standing right back there. There was a wall here at the time. This half of the building was brand new. 3 months old. 3 months to the day from we dedicated it, a fire caught to an old building right here and a building over there. And both of them connected to our brand new building. The wall was right here, and this is all we had then. While the building was burning over here, the building burning over here, and they had taken axes and chopped holes in the walls back here, and water was that high all over this new carpet, and you couldn't even see 5 feet in front of you hardly because the smoke. I went outside, and there's a building right up there, but it's outside right here. I put my hand on that wall right there, and I said, dear God, we've worked for 2 years to put this building up. Please spare this building. One next to it, connected to it, was burning. One next to it over here, connected, was burning. This one was full of smoke, and we just felt like the whole thing was going all those 2 years. And I said, God, let me know that you love me. I called home for something, and Mrs. Hiles said, there's a letter here for you. And that letter was from Russell Anderson. I never heard Russell Anderson's name in my life before. And he said, dear Dr. Hiles, I was thinking about you today, and I love you, and I believe in you, and I wanted to send you something to tell you I love you. It was a $500 check. Now, in those days, $500 like $5,000 a day. And I rejoiced and clapped my hands. And a few days later, I was preaching at the Bill Rice Ranch. And I heard Russell Anderson was going to be there. And I didn't want to be brazen. You know the guy is a rich man. I didn't want to be brazen. So I just walked up and said, hi, buddy, you got any more? But anyway, I didn't want to be brazen. And so, but I tried to figure out which one is Russell Anderson. I've got to meet this guy. But I can't walk up to everybody here. Are you Russell Anderson? You Russell Anderson? And I want to know who he is. Why? Because he gave me $500. I want to meet him. I want to shake his hand. I want to know him. And he gave me life eternal. I want to know him. I want to meet him. This morning there are people here who have the salvation beating in your breast today, and you are saved on your way to heaven, and you know it, but you don't know him. And Jesus walks up and says, fella, I've got something else I'd like to open. You got some more eyes that are blind. Let me open those eyes too. You think you feel great now because the eyes that once were blind can now see. There's a blindness that's far greater than the blindness of physical eyesight. Let me open those eyes. He said, you could meet the one that did what you just did. God given you shelter. Don't you want to meet the one that did it? Has God given you His Holy Spirit to live in you? Don't you want to know the one who did it? Has God given you the Word of God? Don't you want to know the one who wrote it? Has God given you America in which to live? Don't you want to know the one who gave you the freedoms that you enjoy? I'm simply saying it's time that God's people got to know God. I'm not talking about reading two verses or a chapter a day. I'm not talking about now laying me down to sleep. I'm talking about it's time God's people said, all I have that's good, and all I am that's good, and all I've done that's good, you did it for me. You gave it to me. Now I want to get to know you. That's what he's saying. He's saying, look, he's saying, wouldn't you like to know the one who did it? Dost thou believe on the Son of God? May I testify this morning just for a few minutes? And this never grows old to me. 27 years. I couldn't preach 5 or 60 seconds hardly without clearing my throat. For 27 years, I was thinking a while ago as I sat here. 27 years I sat before, preached every sermon, and prayed for God not to let me make a fool of myself. Please just have a seat right there somewhere if you would, please, quickly. 27 years. Ushers, help me now about the folks coming in. 27 years. I would pray before I stood to speak. Don't let me make a fool of myself. See, if I'd preach somewhere I'd never preached before and folks didn't know about my problem, I'd cry before I went to the pulpit. 27 years. I could not tell you how I felt. Many a time, I'll be honest with you, many a time, I just thought I'd quit. One of our students went off to college, one of the Christian colleges in America. One of the professors said, "Where are you from?" And he said, "This has been about 10 years ago." One of our young people said, "I'm First Baptist Church of Hammond." The professor said, "I couldn't sit and listen to him every Sunday." She wrote back and told me. She said, "The professor said, I couldn't listen to all that coughing and snorting. I couldn't do it every Sunday." Many a time I thought about just closing my Bible, not preaching anymore. I've taken that all over I anoint people with and rubbed it all over my throat. I'd bathe in it if it had helped. And 2 years ago, God healed me. I could not tell you the joy I feel when I stand up here and don't have to clear my throat anymore. I could not tell you how it feels to preach a whole sermon, conduct a whole youth conference, go through an entire pastor school, vacation Bible school, and not have people who are visitors say, "What's wrong with him? He's got a problem. What's wrong with him?" I could not tell you how it feels. And I could not tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I could not tell you how many times I talked to God and begged Him to lift it from me. I could not tell you how many hours and thousands of hours I spent on my face begging God to help me to get over this. And I told Him when He healed me, I said, "I promise you, I won't spend any less hours thanking you than I did begging you. I want to know the one that did it." You can't understand this unless you're a preacher. Unless for 27 years you went to the pulpit and made a fool of yourself all over America, you couldn't understand it. And one day, in the darkest hour of my life, God reached down and said, "I want you to speak the rest of your ministry without clearing your throat, without coughing." And praise God, He lifted me. I refused to talk to Him less than I used to. God knows I'm telling you the truth. I spend more time praising, and I spend thousands of hours asking Him for healing, but I spend more time praising Him for it now than I ever spent asking Him for it. I want to know Him. When I walk in this pulpit on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, I want to give you one thing more than I want to give you any 10 things put together. I want to give you a man who stands behind this pulpit who knows God. I want to know Him. Why? He saved me. I want to know the one that saved me. Why? He forgave me. I want to know the one who forgave me. Why? He's building a home in heaven for me. I want to know the one who's building a home in heaven for me. He shed His blood for me. I want to know the one who shed His blood for me. He gave me eternal life. I want to know Him. Jesus walked up and said, "I've healed you now. You can see whereas you couldn't see. Don't you want to know the person that did it?" I love this story. I want to go back for a second to the fellow. I love what he answered. He said, "Where is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" I love that guy. He didn't say, "Well, I'll listen to you." He said, "Where is he?" Here's what he said. He said, "The one that healed me, where is he? Lord, it sounds good. I'd like to try. Tell me who he is. Show me more." That's the way everybody ought to be when they first hear the gospel of Christ. You can be saved and go to heaven. You ought to say, "How? How? Tell me more. How can I do it?" This fellow said, "Where is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" Somebody asked me one time, said, "Of all the souls you won to Christ," and I say this sincerely, It's not been 1 week since 1950. I have not won someone to Christ personally. But now, thousands and thousands of people have won to Christ. Somebody said, which is the one you enjoyed the most? Oh, of course, a lot of them I enjoyed. I enjoyed the dog over here on the north side of Hammond. It prayed with me. You heard the story and read it. I enjoyed the guy that was dying out at Chicago Heights St. James Hospital, and I got under the oxygen tent with him. He had a few seconds to live, and I won him to Christ, and I said, now, where are you going? He said, where are you going to go when you die? He said, Kentucky. I enjoyed that. I laughed as he died. I really did. I meant, would you go to heaven if you died? And I said, where would you go if you, where are you going to go when you die? He said, Kentucky. Personally, I'd rather go to Hades myself, but I enjoyed that one. I enjoyed the fellow out here in Hessville that I won to Christ. He was up a tree, pruning his tree, and I didn't see him. I rang the doorbell. He said, I'm up here. Looked up right up off the porch, and he was up in the trees. I'll be right down. I said, never mind. I'll come right up. Opened the 19th chapter of Luke and read him the story of Zacchaeus up a tree who got saved and one that fell to Christ on a tree, in the tree. I enjoyed the guy out here in Munster, and I was out soul winning, and he was under his car. And I was dressed in a suit about like yours, in dark blue suit. I look a lot better than you do, but a dark blue suit. And he said, who is it? And I said, it's Howell's Mechanic Service. He said, come on under and see what's wrong. He was on a roller under his car, and I got on a roller and rolled under the car beside him. Looked up. He said, what do you think it is? I said, well, I think it needs a general overhauling. How can you tell from under here? I looked over and laughed. He looked over and saw me in my blue suit, laying down on one of those little roller things under the car. He said, who are you? I said, I'm Jack Howell, pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond. Both of us looking up under the car. I went into Christ. When he prayed, he said, dear God, I'm coming for a general overhauling. I like that story. But let me tell you, my favorite, the most fun I ever had in all these years of soul winning. I knocked on a door, and I to save my life, I can't tell you what neighborhood it was, but I remember the lady. She was from Italy. She had moved to America. She could talk English, but with an accent. And I went and knocked on her door, and I told her that I'd tell her about Christ. And she said, what's he? Who's he? And I said, well, I said, could I tell you how to go to heaven? She said, what's that? Now, this lady must have been 55 years of age, a young lady. And she said, what? And I said, let me tell you how you can go when you die to a place where you'll never die and never get sick. I had to tell her. I mean, a place, golden streets and gates of pearl and no pain and no disease. She said, oh, that sounds good. And I said, let me tell you a story. I said, one time, there was just God. She said, oh, by himself? I said, yes, ma'am. Just God by himself. And I said, God decided to make himself a bunch of people so he wouldn't be lonely. She said, oh, how nice. And boy, here's somebody like that. I'm not interested. I'll call you when I want to talk to you. I said, and you know what? God gave those people a right to love him or not to love him. She said, what did they do? And I said, we put a tree in the garden. She said, what was on it? This lady was an intelligent lady that didn't know a thing about the Bible. And she said, what was on it? I said, fruit. She said, what kind of fruit? Apple. Now, as dumb as she was, I said, God told them not to eat it. They did, they're going to die. She said, did they? And I said, I felt like a mom and dad telling a bedtime story to a child. I said, yeah. Oh. And big old tears came in her eyes. Her lip began to quiver. Oh. I said, and do you know what God did? What? And I told her the whole story of salvation like that. Every time I'd tell her something, she'd say, is that right? Oh. And I said, after I told her, I said, wouldn't you like to be saved? Yeah. Can I nail? I want to say, look, baby, this is not the way to do it. Harder. Give me a chance to be an effective soul winner, to pressure you a little bit, and to show you how I can. And I said, sure you can. She said, now? I said, now. She said, let's do it. I said, I've already done it. It's time for you to do it. And after we got through. she was so happy about her salvation. And I went back to the car and I said, "Dear Lord, that's the way I want to be. I don't want to ever get used to it. Every time anybody says the word heaven, I want to say glory to God. Every time anybody says the word salvation, I want to say, I've got it, I've got it. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed with the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am," the songwriter says. "I don't want to ever get over it." And that's what this fellow said. This fellow said, "Where is the Lord that I may believe on Him? The idea sounds good," he said. "I'd like to try. I'm ready. Show me more. Tell me who He is." I like people, and you do too, that want to cooperate, that want to respond. I like people who say, "I want to like You." People who say, "I want to learn. Tell me. I want to have fun. I want to enjoy it. I want to cooperate." You're missing so much in life because you're so all-fired blasé. I wish everybody here had to conduct vacation Bible school like I do one time. You'd get up here and say, "Now, children, we're going to sing the Gloria Patri. Let's all stand. All things come of Thee, O God." Oh, no. You know what I like? That's one reason why I like vacation Bible school. What is your name? I say three, you tell me what your name is. And like this, "My name is Jack Hiles." And I'll say 1, 2, 3, and all those hundreds of kids say, "My name is Jack Hiles." And I said, "No, your name is not Jack Hiles. My name is Jack Hiles. Your name is like Johnny Peabody." So when I say, "My name is Jack Hiles," you say, "My name is Johnny Peabody." Got that? Yeah, got that. And every one of them, boy, they know what they're going to do. I don't, but they do. I'm supposed to know. But anyway, I'll say, "Okay, 1, 2, 3. And every one of them will say, "My name is Johnny Peabody." I'll say, "No, it's not. Your name is your name. Your name is not Jack Hiles. Your name is not Johnny Peabody. Your name is your name." Of course, you're too dignified for that. You're a college student. I said, "Your name is your name." So when I say 1, 2, 3, you say, "My name is my name." You know what we do? 1, 2, 3. They giggle. "My name is my name." "No, your name is not your name. Your name is not your name. You've got a name I'm going to call you. I want to know what your name is." You said, "You do that." I got thousands of witnesses I did. You know why? Because I haven't gotten over it yet. You know why? Because when I do get over it, I want to die and go on to heaven so I can get a transfusion. I like this guy. He said, "I want to have fun. Let's have it." Little girl sitting out there named Cindy Scott. She loves to have fun. Every time she goes anywhere, she wants to have fun so she can remember she had fun. So if she doesn't have fun, she'll have fun. Because she wants to remember she had fun. Oh, I wish I could grab you. Hey, we had a youth conference. I didn't do what I did then, but almost did. You say, "Brother House, how does a man almost, but just past 58? How does a man just past 58 conduct a nationwide youth conference of teenagers all over America?" I tell you how. I walked out here. And I begged God to help me because I don't have to be quite frank with you. When I was 17 years old, a 21-year-old person looked like an old man. And I kept remembering, I wish I hadn't, I kept remembering how old 40-year-olds look. And I'm older than 40. And I kept remembering. Oh, but God is so good. Do you know what I needed the most? We got a call from Texas. It was the people at the ACE convention. They have a big convention every year, and I've spoken at it, I think, 7 or 8 straight years. 7,000, 8,000, 10,000 people there every year. And they grade the speakers. Grade them. And all the speakers they have and all the seminar conductors and all the lectures, and they must have 50 people every year on the program of some kind, and they all they give everybody a sheet of paper and grade them. I don't want to see the grade. But they called and left this word for me. And this is how good God is. Just about the time when I needed the boost to think an old man can conduct a youth conference, they called and told one of the secretaries, said, tell Brother Hiles that the vote, that the grading this year at the ACE school convention, his grade was the highest grade anybody's ever gotten in the history of the ACE. And I grabbed a piece of paper and I said, kids, here I come. I mean, isn't God wonderful? I mean, right, that's when I got the call. That's when they sent the word. But let me tell you what really helped. I walked out here Wednesday night, and the young people said, show us your muscle. I showed the biggest muscle I got. I do my calisthenics every morning. Where's the beef? There's a beef right there. I said I can't stretch it too much because it'll bust the coat. Look at all that hair! At home in the drawer. But wait a minute. That's why we had a good youth conference. Because thousands of young people from all over America came and they said, we want to enjoy it. We want to like it. We came to have a good time. Those this morning who came to the service and said, I want a blessing, will go home with it. Those who came instead of wondering what it's going to say this morning, they'll go home, eat persimmon soup for lunch. Yeah. Oh, listen, I have rejoiced in this story. I wish I could take every verse and preach a sermon on it. I have rejoiced in this story. This man was blind. Can you imagine how it'd be? By the way, he's blind from birth. He'd never seen a sunrise, never seen a sunset, never seen a star twinkle, never seen a rose, never seen a daffodil, never seen his mother, never seen his daddy, never seen his brothers, never seen his sister, never seen the rabbi, never seen a meadow, never seen a mountain, never seen a hill, never seen a tree, never seen the cedars of Lebanon, never seen a river, never seen a lake, never seen an ocean, never seen the sky, never seen the clouds. All of a sudden, Jesus walks up and spits on the ground and makes him play and anoints his eyes. And he says, now go wash in Siloam. You can imagine how he must have said, well, shoot, worth a try. Can't see anyway. Can you see him as he feels his way to Siloam, or someone leads into the pool of Siloam, reaches down and takes some water and washes the clay off his eyes? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? All of a sudden, he looks up and he sees people he loved. He sees nature and its beauty. I can see. I can see.
There you can see, huh? You can see. Well, it did. It was a sinner.
I don't know if it's a sinner or not. I know one thing. I was blind, but now I can see. What's he going to say about that?
Well, Mom and Dad, what do you think about this?
We don't know, but one thing we do know, he was blind, now he can see.
They cast it out!
Jesus said, hold it, fell, don't run too far. I love cast outs. He runs over to him and says, dost thou believe the Son of God? Don't you want to know the one who did it? And the fellow says, where is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Of all the people in the world, God must have been the best to me. Of all the people in the world, he must have saved his most precious blessing. Somebody said the other day to me, he said, you know what I believe you are? And I said, what? And he said, I believe you're God's pet. I think what he was saying is, I'm so ornery God must have me as his pet, or he wouldn't bless me like he does. I think I agree with him if that's what he meant. I'm not saying I'm God's pet at all, but I'm saying he sure has been good to me. Oh, what he's done for me. Oh, what he's done for me. If I should try through all eternity, I could never tell you what he's done for me. And folks, I'm not going to just take without knowing the one who's the giver. He says, I think Jesus said to the fellow, paraphrase it, I think he said something like this, I'm glad I got to give you your sight. Wouldn't you like to know me? I was thinking Friday afternoon. I drove around a while. And I was thinking what several little notes have said to me under my door today. Dear Brother Hiles, we wish Bible school was every day. I was thinking how much fun it had been to get to know the kids for a few days. And for the kids to get to know me something other than a hollering, screaming old man up there behind the pulpit. And I loved it. And it's over for 51 weeks. And I kiddingly say, amen. But seriously, I say, I'm sad. I guess I want everybody to know my heart. I guess I wish everybody could know how I feel. I think Jesus says that. He said, I've given you everything I have to give. Don't you want to know me? Don't you want to know me? We thank God for his blessings, but we don't know him. Let me say again, I'll quit. My throat this morning is as clear as yours is. Brother Fisk had a little bit of what I had a lot of. We used to sit up here on the platform and snort a duet during the offertory. In fact, we snorted the offertory sometime. And his is, I think he's trying to make me feel better. But my throat this morning, and has been for 2 years, clear as yours. We finished pastor school the year after God healed my throat. Staff and I always go to the chapel and fall on our faces and thank God for his blessings during pastor school. We went over to the chapel before we got on our knees. We're just getting on our knees. I said, wait a minute. I've got to testify. I don't think I cleared my throat one time all week. Don't you think we have a wonderful God? Why don't you get to know him? You eat his food. Get to know the one that gave it to you. You wear his clothes. You drink his water. You bask in his sunshine. You live on his earth. You breathe his air. He says, don't you want to know who did it? Our Heavenly Father.